The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. It is Friday, but don't fret because we will be live tomorrow as well when the Infowars live broadcast ends here today at 6 p.m. Central. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. All kinds of breaking news today. We're going to have Laughing at Liberals in the third hour with Leanne McAdoo. I got a stack of news. Paul Manafort is fighting back against the indictment on him. New developments in the Vegas shooter. Hillary Clinton rigs the DNC. We told you that months ago. Weinstein Gate continues to unravel. And here's a report from John Bowne with what might be the most sickening thing to come of Weinstein Gate.
We're being invaded by Russian bots.
Все срочно к магазину Уиллера.
Хорошо.
That was actually run by Russian trolls.
Or do they mean Rust trolls?
He's the people's choice because what this country needs is a candidate with lots of dignity and lots of hair.
The biggest sore loser of all time, Hillary Clinton, was on The Daily Show blaming Russian bots for all of her inadequacies.
Russian trolls and bots.
I couldn't have lost because people don't want a corrupt career politician.
The bot attacks, the bot traffic, is part of the FBI's counterintelligence investigation.
Rachel Maddow claims Russian bots pushing InfoWars stories on social media is one of the reasons Hillary Clinton actually lost.
Industrial-sized bot attack.
It was the Russian bots.
They're exploring whether the far-right news operations, were they in on it?
Even Pokemon Go.
Pokemon.
You have got
every social network we think about, every sort of digital platform that we think about, the Russians were trying to exploit those.
And how do they know all of this information? Anonymous sources say. According to those sources,
I must be a Russian bot.
And according to Newsweek, those darn Russian bots continue to target Hillary Clinton and the Mueller investigation.
Russian trolls and bots.
Maxine Waters claims that these Russian bots are responsible for disrupting her town hall meeting. Those darn Russian bots are at it again. And when Lindsey Graham asked Google, Twitter, and Facebook,
how much volume are we talking about?
We estimate that the Internet Research Agency content was approximately 0.004%.
A whopping 1 in 23,000 posts were allegedly from Russian bots.
We determined that the number of accounts we could link to Russia was comparatively small, around 0.01% of the total Twitter accounts at the time we studied.
We found two accounts that appeared to be engaged in activity associated with known or suspected government-backed entities. On YouTube, we found 18 channels with only around 43 hours of YouTube content.
And what percentage of these bots were posting pro-Trump posts?
Primarily, a much smaller proportion were directed at particular candidates.
Wow! They totally fixed the election.
I am a Russian bot.
Secret. I bought secret.
We got Trump elected.
That was actually run by Russian trolls.
And if you just aren't sold enough on the Russian bot story, according to the New York Times, a Trump advisor repeatedly sought a meeting with Russia. He sought to. You know, that thing you do, like you sought to do something, but you didn't really do it.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
So you're telling me that we're having this big investigation and congressional hearing because this Mr. Papadopoulos guy had a friend of a friend of a friend who claimed to have Russian government official connections, and Mr. Papadopoulos was talking to a candidate.
Well, folks, we thought we had John Bowne, but then we got hacked by a Russian bot.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Welcome into the War Room, folks. We are live on this Friday, November 3rd. I am your host, Owen Schroyer, and we are now less than 24 hours away from the big Antifa rally that is planning on going down tomorrow, November 4th. Even though they said that Alex Jones was fake news and making it up, that's right, Newsweek and other publications said Alex Jones made it up that Antifa was planning protests on November 4th, but then they bought a front page ad on the New York Times, and then they put it all on their website. Refuse fascism! We're going to refuse fascism! So, they say they're going to take to the streets and public squares in cities and towns across the country, continuing day after day and night after night, not stopping until their demand is met, and that is that the Trump-Pence regime must go. So, the brown shirts, the commies, the libtards, have their day planned tomorrow. And here's just a list of the cities that they have planned events. Akron, Atlanta, here in Austin, Boston, Chicago, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Falmouth, Honolulu. Really? There's nothing better for you to do in Hawaii? That's sad. Indianapolis, Los Angeles, Miami, Minneapolis, San Francisco, Seattle, and Tucson. Bingo. So all that fake news accusations against Alex Jones, turns out he was right again. It's amazing every day something new breaks that shows how right InfoWars has been the entire time. Today, it's just that Hillary rigged the DNC. We'll get into that more in a second. But there you go, folks. And do not fear, because InfoWars will have live coverage. The coverage that you want, the people. Uncensored. Raw. In your face. And that will be what's going down tomorrow. But in the meantime, all kinds of news to cover today. All kinds of great videos that we'll get to. Let's see. Weinstein Gate continues to collapse. ISIS is losing control and now surrendering. A whole stack of, well, it's laughing at liberal news. So when Leanne McAdoo joins us at 5, we'll just have a couple segments of laughing at liberals. A stack of some just of random news here. Jeff Sessions has apparently recused himself from the Uranium One deal. That's absurd. And Paul Manafort will be fighting back against against the indictment against him because he's saying it was a violation of his constitutional rights. That was reported a few days ago. Manafort follows up with that. And, of course, the news that InfoWars told you months ago, Hillary Clinton rigged the DNC against Bernie Sanders. So let's get into that. All right, let's start off with this. Let's start off with this because I want to show you something here that goes to show you the true colors of Bernie Sanders. Okay, so Donna Brazile, let's just really try to break this down piece by piece. So first you have Donna Brazile, who publishes this story, and she's about to, in fact, will you guys pull up her book, Hacks? I actually want to mention something about this, her book, Hacks. If you guys could pull up that official book page on Amazon or something, wherever someone's selling it. But Donna Brazile writes this story for Politico, Inside Hillary Clinton's Secret Takeover of the DNC. Now, we already told you that this was going on. However, Donna Brazile kind of breaks it down with some different details, how the DNC was broke and Hillary Clinton came in to save the day because she knows how to steal money better than anyone. It took $3 billion. And actually, the liberals are praising this. But look at this. This is the funny thing about this. So the book is called Hacks. This is how you know. I don't know if Donna Brazile is doing this consciously or if she really is that clueless. It wouldn't surprise me either way. But here's the title, Hacks, the inside story of what the break-ins and breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. Do you see what they're doing with this, folks? This is another example of them telling you you don't exist. Pretending like InfoWars doesn't exist. Rush Limbaugh doesn't exist. Michael Savage doesn't exist. Sean Hannity doesn't exist. Fox News doesn't exist. Nobody exists that supports Trump. Do you understand? Do you understand? The only reason Donald Trump won was because of Russians and because of hacks. So he didn't have one rally that had thousands and thousands of people. No, Donald Trump didn't hold rallies that featured tens of thousands of Americans screaming louder than any World Series crowd that you saw this year. No, that never happened. Donald Trump didn't have marches. Donald Trump didn't have millions of Americans because he didn't have ideas. He didn't have an agenda. No, that never happened. Trump didn't win because of his ideas. Trump didn't win because of his agenda. Trump didn't win because he likes America, wants to put American first. Trump didn't win because he speaks like a regular person, a regular American. Trump didn't win because he's the blue-collar billionaire. Trump didn't win because he had millions and millions of Americans that supported him and people around the world that supported his ideas and agenda. No, it was hacks and the Russians. So even Donna Brazile has to put the little silver lining to jab Trump supporters in her books, allegedly exposing Hillary Clinton's takeover of the DNC. I got news for you. The Russians didn't put Trump in office. Hacks didn't put Trump in office. There are the people that put Trump in office. You are the people that put Trump in office. So while they have all of their Tokyo Rose broadcasters out there telling you, you don't exist, you don't have ideas, you don't have a culture, you don't have a mandate, you don't have an agenda, you have nothing except Russian hacks, they are lying to you. That is a psychological warfare, just like Tokyo Rose telling the Japanese people they were defeating America. No, they're losing. We put Trump in office and we continue to have victories. But of course, shocking, network newscasts don't mention Donna Brazile Clinton DNC revelations. Well, why would they mention it now? They didn't mention it when it was already revealed in the WikiLeaks. So why would they mention it now? Why would I expect any of the mainstream news outlets, whether it be ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, any of the corrupt, sided, biased news organizations out there that try to hide it, why would I be shocked that they won't cover the fact that Hillary Clinton rigged the DNC? Of course they're not going to cover it. They're not going to cover anything that slights the Clinton crime family. Of course not. So they ignore that. Now, here's where you can really see the difference between Bernie Sanders and someone who cares. Donald Trump tweeted this on May 18th, 2016. Bernie Sanders is being treated very badly by the Democrats. The system is rigged against him. Many of his disenfranchised fans are for me. Now, that's true to a T. So Donald Trump calls this out last May. That's over a year ago. Same time InfoWars was calling it out. Same time the WikiLeaks exposed what the Clintons were doing with the mainstream media and the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Donna Brazile to rig the primaries, rig the debates against Bernie. So Trump points that out over a year ago, proven right in spades. InfoWars covers it over a year ago, proven right in spades. WikiLeaks releases the documents, proven right in spades. And we all call it out. But meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is silent. Zero from Bernie Sanders. No interviews, no sound bites, no tweets, nothing. Nothing from the fraud Bernie Sanders. Zero. Just like when the DNC fraud lawsuit was being filed by Bernie Sanders supporters. He did nothing. He said nothing. He tossed his voters aside like a sack of crap because that's what Bernie Sanders is. Now, to put a cap in it, again, Trump cares more about the rigged elections by the Democrats than actual Democrats and by Bernie Sanders, Bernie, who says nothing, completely silent, hasn't had a peep since Donna Brazile goes public, even though we already knew that the election was rigged against Bernie Sanders. But then here's Elizabeth Warren. Let's put a nice bow on this one, a nice cherry on top. Elizabeth Warren tweets out last October, "It's not rigged, Donald Trump. You're losing fair and square. Put your big boy pants on. This is what accountability looks like." Actually, Trump won, Elizabeth Warren, and the election was rigged. And then she goes on air yesterday and says herself that the primary was rigged against Bernie Sanders. Life comes at you fast when you're a libtard.
learned today from former Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Donna Brazile that the Clinton campaign, in her view, did rig the presidential nominating process by entering
Here's
into
Jake
an agreement
this
to
is
control
Jake
day-to-day operations at the DNC. The Clinton campaign controlling the party's staffing, strategy, finances, communications, and that agreement was entered into in August 2015, a year before she defeated Senator Bernie Sanders. This must shock you.
Look, this is a real problem.
Yeah,
but
if you didn't
what
read InfoWars or the WikiLeaks, you're shocked.
Now is we've got to hold this party accountable. When Tom Perriello was first, Tom Perez was first elected chair of the DNC, the very first conversation I had with him is to say, you have got to put together a Democratic Party in which everybody can have confidence that the party is working for Democrats rather than Democrats are working for the party. And he's being tested now. This is a test for Tom Perez. And either he's going to succeed by bringing Bernie Sanders and Bernie Sanders representatives into this process, and they're going to say it's fair, it works, we all believe it, or he's going to fail. And I very much hope he succeeds. I hope for Democrats everywhere. I hope for Bernie and for all of Bernie's supporters that he's going to succeed.
Very quickly, Senator, do you agree with the notion that it was rigged?
Yes.
What, Pocahontas? Wow. Now, here's the irony of all of this, is that you have Pocahontas up there with Jake Tapper, Tweety Bird, and she's sitting here saying, we need to do what we can to bring Bernie Sanders voters back into the fold, bring Bernie Sanders voters back into the Democrat Party. But, of course, the irony is Bernie Sanders is completely silent on the issue. Bernie Sanders didn't say anything when the WikiLeaks revelations came out. Elizabeth Warren says she was shocked that the primary was rigged against Bernie Sanders. Well, you must not have been following InfoWars because we were covering that for over a year. We read the WikiLeaks. We know how the Democrats operate. We know what superdelegates are. But then again, she invokes and tries to virtue signal out towards Bernie Sanders voters that are totally disenfranchised, in fact, tried to sue the DNC. But what's the irony? Bernie Sanders doesn't care. Bernie Sanders never spoke a word about the DNC fraud lawsuit. Never spoke a word about Seth Rich, Sean Lucas, Barrington Wisenant, three people that died around the Democrat Party and their corruption. Is this why Seth Rich died? Did he know that the system was rigged against Hillary Clinton? What about Sean Lucas, the man that filed the lawsuit? But then Elizabeth Warren has to admit that, yes, the primaries were rigged against Bernie Sanders. Meanwhile, I'll just say, in fact, I'll go this with this. This is the way to go with this right now. See if Bernie Sanders ignores this one. Judicial Watch sues Justice Department for Mueller Russian special counsel budget. So, first of all, thank you, Judicial Watch. Here's why I pulled this story out today, because this is an ongoing lawsuit here. Again, you have Mueller spending millions and millions of dollars investigating Trump-Russia collusion or Russia rigging our election. Meanwhile, the Democrats are now forced to admit that they rigged the primary against Bernie Sanders. But there's no special counsel into that. Bernie Sanders doesn't say anything. There's no millions of dollars spent trying to investigate who rigged the primaries against Bernie Sanders. So who really cares? Is this just more of the sacrificial lamb, Hillary Clinton, being offered to the slaughter, trying to invoke as if they care about Bernie Sanders supporters? Even President Trump, we covered how he tweeted about it over a year ago, but even President Trump tweets today, the rigged Dem primary, one of the biggest political stories in years, got zero coverage on fake news network TV last night. Disgraceful. Exactly. They focus on Trump Russia. They build up this fake news story, and then they ignore the real rigging of the elections, even though now Donna Brazile, even though now Elizabeth Warren are forced to admit it over a year and a half after InfoWars covered the story and WikiLeaks exposed in the emails what they were doing. So it should be interesting to see where they try to spin this deal, considering it's now not even up for debate, that the Democrats rigged the primaries against Bernie Sanders. When will Bernie Sanders say anything? Will Bernie Sanders ever open his big fat yap and say anything about the DNC fraud lawsuit? No. Or about the fact the primary was rigged against him? No. Why? Why won't Bernie Sanders say something? How about Hillary Clinton? Nothing from Hillary Clinton. But President Trump. President Trump tweeted about it over a year ago. He tweets about it again today. He covers it more than the mainstream news. And this is why he has to be on Twitter. Now, another reason why he has to be on Twitter again today. Oh, he tweeted twice about, three times about. I'm sorry, I'm not even giving President Trump the proper credit here. Already read one of the tweets. Here's another one. I always felt I would be running and winning against Bernie Sanders, not crooked Hillary without cheating. I was right. Again, he's tweeting about it. Bernie Sanders supporters have every right to be apoplectic of the complete theft of the Democrat Party by crooked Hillary. So President Trump, here he goes again. Pocahontas just stated that Democrats, led by the legendary crooked Hillary, rigged the primaries. Let's go, FBI and Justice Department. The real story on collusion is in Donna Brazile's new book. Crooked Hillary bought the DNC and then stole the Democrat Party from Crazy Bernie. This is nuts. New Donna Brazile book says she paid and stole the Dem primary. What about the deleted emails, Uranium, Podesta, the server, plus? It goes on and on. Everybody is asking why the Justice Department and FBI isn't looking into all of the dishonesty going on with Crooked Hillary and the Democrats. Thank you, President Trump. Oh, how refreshing. Wow. So you've got President Trump that addresses the rigged elections from the Democrats. He's not even involved in more than the Democrats themselves. Real quick, there was something else from President Trump today. So maybe he saw this when this came out from the Associated Press. The latest, White House has no comment on Bergdahl sentence. Well, that story didn't age well because President Trump came out right after that was published and said, the decision on Sergeant Bergdahl is a complete and total disgrace to our country and to our military. Yeah, you know that we lost six soldiers. Let me repeat again. Six members of our military were lost searching for Bo Bergdahl, who deserted his platoon. So that's six Americans lost because of Bo Bergdahl. And then on top of that, we had to trade five radical Islamic terrorists just to get him back. So that's 11 bodies, five terrorists back in the radical Islam movement, and then six American soldiers dead because of Bo Bergdahl, and a bum, a homeless bum that does crack on the side of the street gets more prison time than Bo Bergdahl. How is that possible? If I get caught doing something illegal, I go to jail. How does Bo Bergdahl, which cost us six American lives and five jihadi terrorists out of capture, how is that justice? Oh, and I'm sure it's just a coincidence that his father speaks perfect Pashtun. We'll be right back with Gerald Celeni, folks. Don't go anywhere.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at Infowars, we like to bring awareness to problems that we have as far as our health is concerned in our environment. And then we offer solutions at InfowarsStore.com. You may have heard of our product DNA Force. You may have heard about our air filter, the Alexa Pure Breeze. Now, why are these two products so paramount to your health? Well, let's take a look at a recent study here. This comes from Time Magazine headline, Air Pollution May Make Babies' Cells Age Faster. Now, this is where the DNA Force and the Alexa Pure Breeze come in. The Alexa Pure Breeze fights back against air pollution. The DNA Force protects your telomeres to keep your cells healthy. Now, listen to this. According to a study of 641 newborns, those whose mothers were exposed to higher levels of certain types of air pollution, so-called particulate matter, were born with shorter telomeres. 8.8% shorter in their cord blood cells and 13.2% shorter in their placenta cells than those whose mothers were exposed to less pollution. The effect was strongest when the moms were exposed during the second trimester. So think about that, folks. That means that your babies have accelerated aging in the womb. Before they're even born, they have accelerated aging. So, what can you do? Well, you want to have clean air in your home. You want the Alexa Pure Breeze. So, just like in this study, you don't want your baby to have a shorter lifespan. You don't want your baby to have premature aging, essentially, in the womb. So, what do we offer? Air filters that gets rid of all the particulates in the air, gets rid of the pollutions in the air. So that's one way to clean your environment. And then the back end is the biology defense that is DNA Force. This is a product that is specifically designed to help enhance your telomeres and protect your telomeres from the aging process. That's why DNA Force is such a groundbreaking product. That's why you're starting to hear more about telomeres even on television news. Folks, we have the groundbreaking product. We have the best ingredients. We have it at InfoWarsStore.com. So if you don't want your baby to be born with 8.8% shorter telomeres or 13.2% shorter telomeres, get the Alexa Pure Breeze to purify your air so you're not breathing in the toxic air. And then on the back end, get the DNA Force to protect your telomeres from early aging processes, which is now happening before babies are even born. That is a huge story. That is a huge attack on our health. And it is huge that InfoWarsStore.com has a solution to these problems. So visit InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of DNA Force, which is 25% off right now while in stock. Let's go to Gerald Celente now from trendsresearch.com. Tell you what, Gerald, we've got some news coming out today. Let me find it in my stack here. Brrrah. Hiring rebounded in October. Unemployment rate fell to 4.1%. So, Gerald, we keep seeing more stories about unemployment rate falling. Booming U.S. services sector hits new record in October. And then, of course, the breaking stories that seem to be weekly of new stock market rises. Gerald, I'm not really involved in the stock market. What always goes up must come down. But what about the service sector records? What about the unemployment rate? Are those things that can sustain themselves throughout the Trump administration?
Well, they're going to sustain themselves is what they are. But you really have to look at the numbers deeply. And when you look at where most of the growth came, and again, the new employment numbers were way off what they had expected by, you know, 100,000 or so. It's mostly in the...
And was that because of the hurricane, Gerald?
No, this is after the hurricane. They expected a big boost this time, and it didn't show up. And when you're seeing the jobs, I love the words that they use, leisure and hospitality. I mean, you know, you're a bartender or a waitress. I mean, not demeaning it. I mean, they don't pay a lot of dough. And so that's where we're seeing most of the growth.
Service sector.
Yes. And again, but leisure and hospitality, particularly in that, you know, so we're not seeing, you're seeing a decline in the retail sector, and that's significant as well. Some growth in manufacturing and construction. But overall, Owen, the job numbers have been lousy for years. When you look at the unemployment rate in one sense, and that is the labor force participation rate, you know, we're at 1960s, late 1970s levels. So once people in the USSA are no longer collecting benefits, they're no longer counted as unemployed. So you got a lot of people out there that they're not counting. So overall, as we see it, the economy is doing better than it has been. There's no question. And we did a 180 on when Trump got elected on the stock market. Within a week, we said this rally is real. And now by next Wednesday, it's going to be 1 year old. I mean, that's a long time to have a sustained rally. And now the NASDAQ, the Dow, they're at new highs, keep hitting new highs. Yes, there will be a correction, but we don't see a crash. But again, when you look at the numbers also, it's very important to see, you know, the wage growth is very minimal. Matter of fact, it was flat again. So you have, you look at the data. Again, that's all we're looking at. You have, what is it, 78% of the people say they're living paycheck to paycheck. And Obama used to brag about all the jobs that he created, folks. You know, we got folked, all right. 94% of the jobs that were created under Obama, according to the Harvard-Princeton study, are temporary jobs.
Wait. Are you telling me that Obama folked our economy?
We folked all of us because the guy lied his way into office. The Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner who automatically sends a troop surge into Afghanistan destroys Libya. You know, this is the richest country in the region. They didn't do anything to us. You know, we got to get rid of Gaddafi. Gaddafi has to go. I wonder how he got those. Why you have all this disruption down there, down in Mali and Niger and all that area? Oh, it couldn't be because of the people that Obama brought in to overthrow Gaddafi, those, quote, radical Islamists that are now all over the place because of that. Again, he lied about everything he was going to do. He lied about, folks, we're going to go revisit NAFTA, he says, to win the votes over there in the Rust Belt state. And then as soon as he gets in, what does he do? He said, well, we are going to
revisit
that again. As a matter of fact, the most transparent president in the United States, a cat you could see right through, man. He was the guy that gave us the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That was so transparent that we, the little people, were never allowed to look at it.
Yeah. Well, folks, you heard it here first. Obama folked the United States. Obama really folked us good. And it is amazing, though. You know, he tried to make fun of President Trump saying, oh, he's going to wave a magic wand, folks. But then it's not really waving a magic wand. It's actually trying to do something to get these businesses back, get manufacturing back. In the break, Gerald Celente is going to be banging on the drums during the break. He's got to get rid of some of his folking anger here. But on the other side, I want to get his take on what we continue to see with the stock market record highs. I'm not someone invested in the stock market, but I feel like what goes up must come down. So I want to hear what he thinks about that on the other side. Gerald Celente is our guest from trendsresearch.com. The economy is definitely back. Jobs are back. Trump is trying to put America first. And that alone is such a distinct difference than Obama that you're actually seeing the results. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the War Room here. Another segment with Gerald Celente. I want to get right back into the stock market. You're seeing record highs reported every week. Gerald, I was looking back on a little bit of this, and just about 10 years ago, the Dow, I believe it is, was hovering just over 2,000, usually around 2,400. Now it goes up over 3,000. What does that mean? What does that mean to the average person in the stock market? How does it jump to 3,000 and then just stay there? Is this good for the economy, bad for the economy? What do all these record highs really indicate that we keep seeing?
It really is not about the economy. It's about who's really playing the markets. And 10% of the U.S. population is really the ones that are in the markets. In that 10%, their average holding is around $350,000. The rest of the people, the 52% of the middle class that are in the market because of pension, retirement funds, et cetera, they're only holding about $15,500. So the reason this really happened, Owen, is it's plain and simple. Two reasons. Two things they never taught you in economics 101. Quantitative easing and zero and negative interest rate policy. They're just dumping cheap money into the system, and that's what's really keeping it going. Beginning and the end of the story. We got it wrong. We thought the markets would crash in 2012 again. But again, we had no idea that they would continue this scam. And it's not only the United States. You know, you're a nice guy, Owen. I got a 10-year bond for you that I'm going to sell you. We're over in Japan. And because you're such a nice guy, in 10 years when you buy it back, I'm going to give you less money than you loaned me. This is actually going on. You have negative interest rates in Europe. They're feeding the equity markets. That's all this is. The markets will retreat when interest rates go up, and they're barely going up. I just mentioned the ECB, Europe. They had a meeting last week, and what did they do? Well, we're going to cut back on our quantitative easing. Quantitative easing, what is that? Oh, we're going to buy corporate bonds from the biggest companies out there, and we're going to let them borrow money for basically nothing.
Well, now it's QE Unlimited, right?
You got it. And that's what is going on around the world. China, same trip, man. You look at China's debt level. Go back 20 years ago, China's total debt level was about $500 billion. Today, it's approaching $40 trillion. It's one big Ponzi scheme. Again, when I talk about Japan, they're the ones that are buying up the bonds, and they're buying stocks. And then you look every day, virtually, the merger and acquisition activity. And the bigs keep getting bigger and bigger because they're borrowing dough for free. And now you look at the new guy Trump is putting in. He's dovish on interest rate rises as well.
You're talking about Powell?
Yes.
Okay.
So as long as interest rates stay low, the market keeps going up. We believe the market is near its top. We don't think it's going to grow as fast as it was, and we're also going to have a correction. We don't see a crash at this point, just a correction. And it's very important to look at it again at the very different levels. I mentioned it's only at the top where most of the dough is. So now as we look at it, we're finding that homes that are selling for 1.3, 1.5 million bucks, they're not selling anymore. The high-end condominiums, you know, the luxury condos, they're not selling anymore. Rental space in high rental areas, a lot more on the market. So there's a slowdown at the top. It's not going to hurt the everyday person because we're not in the market. Psychologically, it will have an effect, but overall, it doesn't have one. It's only hurting the top of the market.
So what do you think? Because I'm seeing stories now. It was about 2008 when home ownership started taking a really sharp dip. It kept dipping every year since then, not as drastically. But now I'm actually seeing the graphs go back up, home ownership on the rise. Are you saying that trend is not going to continue, or what do you think?
Well, if Trump goes through with his tax plan, it's going to hurt home ownership because people won't be able to deduct their mortgages and other taxes. So that's really put a damper on it. And you look what happened to the markets in areas of that sector when this was announced yesterday in the home builders. Mm. So that won't be positive for it either. But again, where is the growth coming? And you're still looking at home ownership rates that are basically at 50-year lows. They're increased, but they're still low. The millennials aren't buying homes.
That's more of a something that's tougher to fix than just one administration per se. Am I hearing you right?
It's the whole economy. And by the way, going back to the positives, what Trump is doing with NAFTA and the other trade agreements is what the country needs to grow that class of people. Here's something, Owen, that I find totally offensive. It's not capitalism when you give the richest guy in the world a $7 billion tax break, Bezos in Amazon, so he could open up a plant that pays people on average $28,000 a year. Those are the kind of jobs that are being created. You can't make it on that and buy a home. You're still living with mommy and daddy at that kind of dough.
So it sounds to me then, it sounds to me, Gerald, like you're not necessarily, I want to get your words on this because my next question was going to be, do you think the market has seen any effects as far as the return of manufacturing to this country? But based on your last statement, you're thinking that the effects of returning manufacturing might not even be that great.
No, that's what we need. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what has to happen to really boost the living standard in the country. You're not going to get, what are you going to go to college and get out with $40,000 in debt and you got a degree in packaging, shipping, and handling, and you're going to make $1,350 at Amazon? So you're not going to make any money with that. We need to bring manufacturing back. That's Trump's strongest Trump card at this point in order to really grow the economy with jobs that are going to pay living wages.
Gerald, Trump is on his Asia flight, his trip to Asia right now. And of course, he'll be visiting Japan, South Korea. But I think most importantly, at least as far as the economics side is concerned, China. What type of conversations do you expect Trump to be having with China? And do you think the markets will reflect this at all?
The kind of conversations you're going to have, for example, it's a one-way deal in China. If you want to export cars into China, what is it, a 25% tax they put in? But I'll tell you what we'll do. You can open up a plant over there, and you could become a partner with one of our government fronts, we'll call it a private company, and give us all your technology. And that's what they've done in aerospace and everything else. So what Trump is going to do, he's going to say, no, no, no more of this. Because then again, people complain about NAFTA, you know, oh, they want to do away with NAFTA. That's what they used to have. It was called the chicken tax, by the way. It began under Johnson. What happened was when we were exporting a lot of chickens back in the late 60s, Germany put a chicken tax on it. So Trump, LBJ did was say, okay, we're going to put a tax on all those VW buses you got coming in here that the baby boomers love so much. So it was the same thing they're doing now in China. That didn't end until Slick Willie Clinton took that off. So what Trump is going to do is saying what's good for you is good for us. We have to equalize this. So when you look at the trade deficit with China, it's unsustainable in this nation. So China, they're going to do business. They're not going to stay, oh, no, we're not going to do this. It's a business deal. That's all. And no business has been done. The strongest suit that Trump could really build his reputation and not only his reputation, but his real help to the nation is through trade deals. The trade deals that Clinton and Bush and Obama have put in place have destroyed the nation. The numbers are there for anyone that could add up to five, because it's tens of millions of jobs that have been lost. You don't have to have a great degree in economics to figure this out.
And Trump has hit China pretty hard when he goes on some of these campaign speeches and so on, talking about them rigging currencies and the massive trade deficit that we have with them. Gerald Celente from TrendsResearch.com, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Owen.
All right, now have fun banging on those drums this weekend, Gerald. All right, okay. Folks, when we come back, on the other side, we're going to hear from Nikki Haley, who apparently is now putting the USA over the United Nations. Wow, how about them apples?
I said the joint was rocking, going round and round, air reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound.
Check this out. It's Nikki Haley addressing the UN, telling them America will be put first.
Here. To those who are confused as to where the United States stands, let me be clear. As is their right under our Constitution, the American people have spoken. They have chosen a new president, and he has chosen a new ambassador to the United Nations. As long as the Cuban people continue to be deprived of their human rights and fundamental freedoms, as long as the proceeds from trade with Cuba go to prop up the dictatorial regime responsible for denying those rights, the United States does not fear isolation in this chamber or anywhere else. Our principles are not up for a vote. They are enshrined in our Constitution. They also happen to be enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations. As long as we are members of the United Nations, we will stand for respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms that the member states of this body have pledged to protect, even if we have to stand alone. The resolution before us aims to end the United States' economic, commercial, and financial embargo against Cuba. But let's be honest about what we really see going on here. This assembly does not have the power to end the U.S. embargo. It is based in U.S. law, which only the United States Congress can change. No, what the General Assembly is doing today, what it does every year at this time, is political theater. The Cuban regime is sending the warped message to the world that the sad state of its economy, the oppression of its people, and the export of its destructive ideology is not its fault. In the spirit of sending messages, I would like to direct the rest of my comments towards the Cuban people. The American people strongly support your dreams to live in a country where you can speak freely, where you can have uncensored access to the internet, where you can provide for your families, and where you can determine your leadership. We know that many of you have been made hopeful by the opening of diplomatic relations between the United States and Cuba. That status is not changing. Our friendship and goodwill toward the Cuban people remain as strong as ever. What you probably don't know is that your government responded to this gesture of goodwill, not by joining in the spirit in which it was offered, but by expanding its politically motivated detentions. Harassment and violence against those who advocate for political and economic freedom in Cuba. What you cannot know, because your government won't let you know, is that there were credible reports of almost 10,000 politically motivated detentions in Cuba in 2016 alone. That's a massive increase in detentions over recent years. We had hoped our outreach to your government would be met with greater freedom for you. Your government silences its critics. It disrupts peaceful assemblies. It censors independent journalists and rigs the economy so the government alone profits. Your government has exported its bankrupt, destructive ideology to Venezuela. It has taught the Maduro regime how to silence journalists, crack down on the political opposition, and impoverish its people. Now millions of Venezuelans join you in being denied their basic rights. As we speak here today, your government is busy choosing the successor to the Castro dictatorship. It is attempting to fool you into believing you have a voice by holding local and regional so-called elections. But the process you are engaged in is not freedom. The results were determined before the first vote was cast. When the United States abstained on this resolution last year, its decision was explained by saying, quote, "We recognize that the future of the island lies in the hands of the Cuban people."
Wow, Nikki Haley sounds a lot different under President Trump than she did under President Obama. America First policies hit the UN.
Is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. You can find us always at warroom.show, warroom.show. You can follow us on Twitter, at War Room Show on Twitter. And we are live weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Central.
Kind of a closer role I play here at InfoWars as we start our live broadcast every morning with David Knight with Real News from 8 to 11, then the Alex Jones Show from 11 to 3, and then here we are in the War Room from 3 to 6 p.m. I'm going to go ahead and give out the phone number now. We're going to be taking your phone calls in this hour, maybe a little bit in the next hour, but mainly this hour, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. And you know what? It's a Friday. Open Line Friday is kind of a traditional thing in talk radio. That is the format that we use here. No teleprompters. So we'll just call it Open Line Friday today. Anything you want to talk about, 888-201-2244, whatever you want to talk about today. Where to go from here? Well, Drudge Report has it headlined and red-fonted now. Harvey could face arrest, rape charge credible. Wow. So things continue to get more interesting there. I've got a stack of Weinstein Gate news today. I'm going to get into that with Leanne McAdoo in the third hour. You're not going to be wanting to miss that. Actually, my plan is with Leanne in the third hour, we're going to do Weinstein Gate and we're going to do Laughing at Liberals. So be sure to be tuned in for that. I'll tell you what I'll do here. Let's cover this. Now, if you're white, you're immediately assumed to be a racist and a bigot. And this is I'm just speaking from a liberal mindset here. Common sense, the average person that still has logic and reasoning in a brain doesn't think this way. This is just the unfortunately the modern degeneration of a liberal mind. If you're white, you're immediately a racist and a bigot. And probably a Nazi. But if you're black, then you can't be racist. All of it's nonsense, obviously. However, it's amazing how you can actually see the hatred for white people really showing itself in the media, on universities, and even in our own government. So what happened was a 4chan or a Reddit, I really am not even sure, forum decided to launch a campaign where they were just going to put flyers up on their schools, and the flyers simply said, it's okay to be white. Okay. There's really nothing insensitive about that. That's not attacking any race. That's just saying it's okay to be white. And for obvious reasons, this is a fair social experiment, considering all the attacks we've had against specifically white men more than anything, but really just the white race in general. Again, and this I hate even playing identity politics, to be honest with you, but I just have to cover the news. So they run this campaign, and the purpose of the campaign ended up going exactly how they expected. But as usual, the totally degenerated mind of a modern day liberal doesn't even get it. Guys, let's go to clip 4. Here is a response to the alleged racist flyers.
The news at 11 continues with a disturbing story out of Montgomery County.
Students disturbing
flyers taped up at a high school that say it's okay to be white. And
so
now
disturbing.
There are some racist online threats connected to them. Here's Stephanie Ramirez.
Here's what's going on. Yesterday, these flyers were posted to at least two different locations, the University of Maryland and Montgomery Blair High School in Silver Spring. The high school even caught the poster on surveillance video.
Woo-hoo,
when I asked the spokesperson what was going on, he sent me a web link to an older post that shows this was planned. The page says what to write. Oh,
I'll pause it right
the
there.
This also says this.
This is so funny. Rewind it back a second. I'm telling you, folks. These people, they literally have no idea what's going on. They literally have no. This was a plan. This was actually planned. Wow, you figured it out. Wow, you figured it out. There was a coordinated effort to do this. Whew. What would we do here without Sherlock Holmes? Go ahead, back to the video.
Says this. We expect the anti-white media to produce a storm about these racist, hateful, bigoted flyers. with a completely innocuous message. The media response will rally new support for pro-white activism. Well, this did upset a University of Maryland student who tweeted the flyer with her own message. And being on social media, she got a flood of responses, but she says this also included death and rape threats. So now police resources are involved. Prince George's County Police Department, they're investigating. Montgomery County
Police are aware of it. Because of her anti-white racism.
And their parents, well, they're over it.
All right. So pause it there. No. I want you guys to go back. I want you to go back to the part where they're reading what they expect the response to be. So this is the funniest thing. So she's on air saying, let me read this. Perfect. Great work, guys. We expect the anti-white media to produce a storm about these racist, hateful, bigoted flyers with a completely innocuous message. She's on here reading this as she's doing exactly what they thought she would do. So they're sitting here reading out the game plan, shocked. Like, they broke it. Like, oh, we figured it out. We figured out the secret code. It was a planned attack. It was a planned coordinated effort. And then they expect us to have an anti-white response. Then they have the anti-white response and play the video of the racist person crumpling it up because they don't think it's okay to be white. So play it again from right here as their campaign. It does exactly what they expected it to do.
White media to produce a storm about these racist, hateful, bigoted flyers with a completely innocuous message. The media response will rally new support.
And that's what they did. So pause it again. So again, the whole thing is this is a racist poster. All it says is it's okay to be white. They say it's racist. And they say our plan is to put these on our schools and then watch the media say it's racist. She does the exact thing and then acts like she's Sherlock Holmes breaking it down. And then they play the video of the racist college student who pulls it down and crumples it up. Go back to that.
Well, this did upset a University of Maryland student who tweeted the flyer with her own message. And being on social media, she got a flood of responses.
But boom. Okay, so pause it there. Enough of that video. Do you see what happened here? She pulls it down with her own response. So the racist at the University of Maryland doesn't think it's okay to be white, pulls down the sign, crumples it up. They say she's a hero, and the people that posted the pamphlet are racists. So congratulations, whoever started that on 4chan and Reddit, you got the exact response you wanted. Great work. Now follow it up with it's okay to be black and it's okay to be Muslim and see how the media reacts differently. Then you've got their story. Now it's infiltrated our universities. How about our government? Here is a Democrat from Maine, a Senate candidate, laughing about whites committing suicide.
Well, I've thought a lot about this, and I think the main what we need in Maine is we need younger people. Take a look. It looks almost like a lecture for Social Security. Okay, so that's one thing. We really need to encourage as many young people. We also need more women. Today I saw a thing and it said a lot of men, white men, were committing suicide. And I almost thought, yeah, great.
Did you hear that?
I thought about it a little more and I thought, well, maybe you shouldn't say that in public.
So that's funny now. So it's funny that white men are committing suicide and it's a rising rate of white men committing suicide. So that's not only funny, as the entire room was laughing, he says it's great. Okay. Hey, dumbass, you're a white male, you frigging moron. It's great that white men are committing suicide. Oh, I'm a white male. So there you go, folks. What an exciting segment. It's okay. It's not okay to be white unless you're committing suicide. Then it's okay.
The good old white days are over with. The good old white days are over with. Ain't no more of them days, bro. It's over.
That's not racist.
Good old,
no, I'm racist, though. That's not racist. I'm racist.
Hell no, that's not racist. That's telling
the truth. You've never experienced oppression in your entire
Neither have I. You're a
white male. You're
a
white male.
There he is, Carl the Cuck.
What are we doing about ISIS?
It's not an issue.
I've been saying it. I'm telling you. The most racist people against white people are actually white people.
Dallas, Republican, you're on with Joe DeGeneva.
Hey, Joe, how you doing? I'm Jack Strickland. The question I don't see being addressed is the abundance of references in her emails about AIDS Skrillex.
You're a white man!
Legend! AIDS Skrillex makes it to C-SPAN.
Sorry about that. We're going to go ahead and move on.
The white male tells the other white male that he's not allowed to have an opinion because he's a white male, which would thereby nullify his own opinion that I can't have an opinion because he's a white male to begin with. Wow, could you imagine living in that mindset? No wonder these people are so miserable. Their own mind is such a twisted, tangled mess that it's no wonder that they're so miserable and misery loves company. Folks, if you want to kick George Soros in the groin, well, you probably can't physically do that. So we have InfoWarsStore.com, which is the next best thing. And we've got big sales going on right now. How about 50% off Silver Bullet, 50% off BrainForce? We're just going to leave that thing. Take it. There's no way Alex can continue that thing at 50% off, folks. I don't know when that sale is going to end, but I mean, just unbelievable. 50% off BrainForce, still one of our most popular, best-selling products. 50% off BrainForce. 50% off Anthroplex. That's while supplies last, and that actually pairs very nicely with Super Male Vitality, which is 30% off right now. You know, something seasonal that's, I think, really important, something that I've just put back in my everyday routine, and that is Winter Sun. Winter Sun is also 50% off. Now, here's why Winter Sun is so important. You don't get the vitamin C that, the vitamin D that you need during winter. There's a lot more cloud cover. You're farther from the sun. You're wearing more clothes, covering your skin, hats, what have you. Maybe you're a member of Antifa. You always cover your face, so you're not getting the vitamin D anyway. So we have Winter Sun vitamin D at InfoWarsStore.com. Like I said, this is something that now that winter is right around the corner, I've introduced back into my daily routine to make sure I'm still getting the vitamin D that I'm not getting from the sun. So folks, take advantage of all of our specials that are 50% off. But how about Winter Sun? Very seasonal, especially with winter right around the corner. 50% off InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com, Winter Sun, Vitamin D. And actually, did we just change that special, guys? Okay, so apparently it was selling like hotcakes and the 50% off rate was simply too much and we almost sold out. So we had to cut that to 14% off, but still worth it, folks. Still worth it because you need that vitamin D. And with winter right around the corner, it's going to be imperative to get that. Let's go out to the phone lines. Hopefully no white males have called in because white males are not allowed to have an opinion. So let's hope that Robert in Seattle is not a white male. Of course, with gender fluidity, how can you be anything? But let's give Robert in Seattle a try here. Go ahead, Robert.
Comrade Scheuer, how are you today?
I'm good, Robert.
Hey, yeah, I wake up every morning and I have an identity crisis. I don't know if I'm Russian, a Nazi, misogynist, homophobic. Mm-hmm. Mm. So with the help of BrainForce, though, I can tell you, it does clear me up. I get going, have a great day, try to stay positive.
I didn't realize that. Folks, if you're having an identity crisis, it seems to be rampant. BrainForce, help your identity crisis. All right, go ahead, Robert.
I live outside of Seattle, and I wouldn't say a small town. It's fairly big. It's very heavily populated by migrants. I've noticed a huge population increase in the last 10, 15 years. I've lived here 30-plus years. I have noticed, because of what's going on with the force, that an increase of special unit trucks, if it's a fire truck, truck and trailer. Bomb squad the other day was the interesting one I saw, truck and trailer. Never see them around my town. And then all of a sudden, the last couple of days, I noticed them driving through town. You know, it goes all the way up into Seattle on one major road that we have.
So wait, are you telling me that you're seeing essentially heightened awareness or heightened preparedness or even activity?
Absolutely.
From what is seeming like, are these military units? What type of units are you talking here?
No, we have our own police station where I live. It's one of their trucks. But these are very large, I would say, if they're not a mobile RV or a SWAT-style truck yet, but they're not, you know, it's not something black and, you know, there's guys hanging off the side. This is just very discreet, you know, driving through town. But I do keep awareness of my surroundings and where I'm at and what I'm doing, and I notice this kind of stuff. But, you know, everybody else just drives through life like there's nothing going on. And, you know, I actually turned on CNN last night to watch it for the first time in several months that I, you know, even try to not watch television. And it's still the same thing. It's the people that go on there. It's like, are they, you know, how much money do they get paid to say this? And is there something at the end of the rainbow for them? And now I see all this stuff coming out where everybody's like, oh, wait, this isn't working. I want to abandon what I said earlier and change my whole tone. And it's like, hello, you know.
Well, so I've got, guys, pull this up, too, because we'll see what time it starts here. I've got the list of all these sites of the Refuse Fascism protest tomorrow on November 4th. Seattle is listed. I'm not sure what time it is in Seattle.
4th and James at noon.
Oh, it's at noon. So that's going to be a daytime protest. So that's probably better off as far as, you know, the city's safety and everything is concerned. It's happening during the daytime because we know what happens at nighttime of these things. So what do you think? Are you think that they're preparing for some escalated violence or what are you thinking there?
One of the things like I've noticed on I started looking at the Wesley Rawls stuff and there's maps you can go on and it predicts certain like, you know, I live in the area we live in. It's like I said, there's a lot of old neighborhoods and they've turned them into Section 8 housing. So, you know, you get a free house, you get a free ride. They populate them in these areas. They say the trigger word. I've seen all this on the news where it's, you know, a certain commercial comes on and what happens the next day? That's a trigger for a cell to do it.
Yeah, I see I see the equivalencies you're making there. So we've got essentially heightened police activity, heightened preparations, essentially what seems like for some sort of activity, whether it be violence, protest, riots, whatever it ends up being, there in Seattle. We know that they've gotten out of control before. They got out of control in the Occupy Wall Street protests. So maybe Seattle's police force is getting ready for some violence there. The Refuse Fascism March Against Trump is going to be at noon in Seattle. We'll have all that coverage tomorrow live.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, communism kills, liberalism kills. Now, the Wall Street Journal's Stephen Kotkin published this today. The communist century, in the 100 years since Lenin's coup in Russia, the ideology devoted to abolishing markets and private property has left a long and bloody trail of destruction. It highlights in this, I think this is about a 6 or 7 page story here on the Wall Street Journal, how the communist century left over 65 million dead. Now, here's the exact quote here. Communism has claimed at least 65 million lives, according to the painstaking research of demographers. This is why I say that the only logical ends to leftist and liberal policies is death. Literally. It's literally death. Why do you think anytime socialist and communist regimes come to power, millions of people die? Oh, that's right. The Nazis were socialists. My bad. Sorry for reminding you of that. Oh, yeah. Mao Zedong that killed millions of people was a communist. That's right. So
leftist policies and communism literally responsible for millions and millions of people dead. But that doesn't stop the radical commies from marching in America. And one radical commie, Bob Avakian, from giving this, well, let's just say controversial speech.
The Trump-Pence regime must go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
Which is just a lie.
A better world is possible.
Trump is not fascist. That's such a lie.
A fascist regime relentlessly assaulting civil rights.
Just pause it right here. I'm sorry. Pause it right here. Donald Trump's regime, Donald Trump's administration is not fascist. Okay? So, understand that the entire premise of all of these marches, of all of these speeches, of all of these activists against Trump to say he's a Nazi or he's fascist is literally wrong. Their entire movement is founded on lies and misinformation. Now let's go back to the radical commie, Bob Avakian.
Openly promoting bigotry and inequality. The organization Refuse Fascism, refusefascism.org, has put forward a call and a plan and is actively building for that mass mobilization to begin on November 4. Did you know that the Constitution adopted by the founders of this country institutionalized the right of men to rape at will? And human
what?
Society
pause it right
everywhere.
There. Okay. Folks, I didn't find this video. The crew found this video, and they told me that this was one of the most ridiculous speeches ever. What? He just said the Constitution. I can't even believe what I just heard. I'm sorry. Rewind that. I have to hear that one more time. What did he just say? Play it again.
At will. And human society ever.
All right.
On November 4. Did you know that the Constitution adopted by the founders of this country institutionalized the right of men to rape at will?
No. And no, it human didn't. Society. Time, pause it. No, it didn't. Zero. Notice how he doesn't actually read from the Constitution to cite what he's talking about. But if you follow the religion of Islam, then maybe what he's saying is accurate. All right, go back to this nut.
Everywhere is straining against the confines in which capitalism continues to enchain human existence.
Capitalism is the most freeing, free market, booming economy thing in the history of the world.
Of its wealth through the armed conquest of land, genocide, slavery, and ruthless exploitation of successive waves of immigrants to America. Calling
exploitation? Pause it right there. Wait a second. I can't even deal with this guy. Okay. So first they're going to tell you that President Trump is anti-immigrant, but at the same time they're going to tell you he's ruthlessly taking advantage of immigrants. Wow. Oh my gosh. All right, this guy, go back.
Not an insult, but speaks to the terrible reality. Features of this particularly American version of fascism.
Can I get like the Twilight Zone in the background here? Can I get the Twilight Zone music
Trump
in the background?
And fundamentalist Christian fascism.
Pull the Twilight Zone
Trump,
up behind
I
this guy.
I think it's fair to say, could not have won the election if the Christian fascists not only had opposed
Christian
him,
fascists.
But if they'd been unenthusiastic.
He just makes things up.
It.
I love this
Pence
guy.
Is obviously a critical linchpin in this uniting of what's represented by Trump and the Christian fascists. Christian fascists. The
wait, pause it right there. No. You got it all wrong here, buddy. It's the Islamofascists. It's the Islamofascists, not the Christian fascists. Again, he just says things. This guy's hilarious. Seriously, try to get this guy on the show. This guy is too much fun. Do we have the Twilight Zone? Play Bob Avakian with the Twilight Zone behind him. This is truly comical.
Fascists. Trump's cabinet is full of these Christian fascists. And you have to call it what it is. Christian fascism. Any form of fascism, including one basing itself on Christian supremacy, any urge to restore past greatness cannot help but be bound together with white supremacy. Reagan proclaimed his support for states' rights, which, particularly in the South, have long been code words for white supremacist lynch mobism. Which, after all, is more important? Order, even if that is the order of fascism, with everything that means? Or justice? But what we are facing now with this fascist regime is the heightened possibility, not just that this oppression will be carried to genocidal extremes, and that the mass of people everywhere will be subjected to previously unseen horrors, but that the human species itself will be wiped out. We, the masses of people, must go all out and mobilize ourselves in the millions to resolve this in our interests, in the interests of humanity, which are fundamentally different from and opposed to those of the ruling class. But the perverted logic of the system all these politicians serve, and with the poisonous outlook of American chauvinism, could anyone put forward such a position? Like the Republicans, the Democrats believe in the superiority of the capitalist system of exploitation, and indeed to become actively involved in the critical work building toward November 4. For it is a massive political mobilization.
Political? No, it's a protest, you jackass. Fascism
that truly represents the prospect of forging a positive path through and beyond this extremely dangerous,
this is Mr. Wordsworth,
and potentially disastrous situation.
Yes! Oh, and the there it is! There's a round of applause for the radical commie. What did I just listen to? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we just took you to the Twilight Zone here on the War Room with Bob Avakian. Guys, I'm serious. Somebody send him an email. I would love to get that guy on the program. Wow. I mean, he actually seems like a normal guy, and then he starts speaking. Refuse fascism. This guy, listen to all the claims this guy just made on camera. He just made all these Christian fascism, Trump's fascist. The Constitution allows you to rape people. What? What? He provided zero evidence. He provided nothing. Zero. Just conjecture and rhetoric. Bob, refuse fascism. Trump's not a fascist. How do you even come back after a segment like that? I really don't know. So I'm going to put the pressure on the callers here at the War Room. Let's go to Trace in New Jersey. Wants to talk about Antifa. Go ahead, Trace.
What's going on, Mr. Troyer? You know, I've been waiting a long time for this talk, especially about the events that are unfolding tomorrow.
You having some phone problems there, Trace?
I'm actually on the train right now. That's probably what it is.
Okay. What did you want to say?
I wanted to talk to you about the Antifa event that is supposed to be unfolding tomorrow.
You know what? I'm sorry, Trace. I just cannot understand what you're saying, so I'm going to have to move on to Victor in Florida. Guys, if you're going to call into the show, please make sure that you're not on speaker and that you have a good connection. I'm sorry to do that to Trace. I know he's been waiting. I just cannot understand what he was saying. Let's go to Victor in Florida. Go ahead, Victor.
Hey, what's up, Owen?
Hey, doing good.
All right, so first I just want to let everybody know, man, if they haven't tried the products, you got to go out and try it. And especially you have to go out and get the storable foods. I'll get to that in a second, but I bought the 6-month supply. I'm going to get more because I feel something is coming. I don't know what is coming, but obviously, you know, with the pedophile stuff going on, you know, obviously this is going to lead to the biggest, ugliest, most richest globalist people that they are out there. They're the ones that are into this crap, right?
Well, yeah, you had the Soros hedge fund manager, excuse me. That story came out on him today. Really sick, twisted stuff. He would have weird sexual demonic rituals in a dungeon.
And then, of course, you've got Corey Feldman talking about exposing the pedophiles of Hollywood. You've got Kevin Spacey getting exposed. Now you've got potential rape charges being waged against Weinstein. So, yeah, it's all breaking. And is this the tip of the storm? Trump said this is the calm before the storm. I have a feeling that we're about to hit the edge of the storm as Antifa plans violence. Trump is on a trip to Asia and the pedophiles are being exposed.
Yes, exactly. And so what I was getting at basically is everybody has to be on alert right now. Everybody in every major city, you have to be vigilant. You have to be just prepared for anything to happen. And that's why I was saying get storable foods, because your local supermarket, they're going to run out of food. There's going to be mass chaos everywhere. So you need to be prepared. And okay, so that's just that. Now, the DNA force is amazing. All the products, the vitamin B12, all that stuff is amazing. But I also want to get to, again, like I was saying about the pedophile stuff. There's like a spiritual awakening happening along the entire world.
Yep.
And that's why there's this wave of nationalism. I'm an immigrant. I wasn't born in this country. And to just touch a little bit about what you were talking about earlier, about how white people and how you guys are meant to feel that way. I grew up, okay, so I'm here. I came from Dominican Republic. And I was raised in South Florida, which is like a big, diverse group of just all kind of nationalities. And I was brought to grow up. I was taught, not by my parents, but by like my peers in school, my black friends, my Spanish friends, that white people were the devil, white people were the racist, you know, they're the biggest racist. But now that I got to this part in life, when I was a little bit younger, like 25, I realized, I was like, some of them.
Got to go ahead and drop that, guys. Did we catch that, guys? Sorry, we had to dump Victor. Family show, we don't allow cursing. I'm sorry, Victor. I knew it was going to be tough to follow that last segment up. First caller couldn't get a good connection, and then Victor just couldn't hold back his frustration talking about these pedophiles and dropped the old curse bomb there. But we'll stick with the phone lines here. Let's go to Brady, or I'm sorry, let's go to Ashley. Ashley's been holding the longest. Let's go to Ashley in North Carolina. Go ahead, Ashley.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to first and foremost rave about the product. And I know I haven't heard much about pregnant women talking on the show yet. But pretty much I can vouch for if you have pregnant brain after having some kids, then Brain Force will help with that.
Oh, okay. And, so it's helped you clear up some brain fog is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially after having kids, that's a big problem.
Yeah, that's what it's for. You know, some people have the brain fog in the morning. You're experiencing it, you know, after pregnancy. And so that's why we have Brain Force Plus. It's just a boost for your brain. It's literally a nutraceutical that kicks your brain into action.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Caveman is definitely one of the best tasting that I've ever had after our workouts. We always use that with almond milk, and it's just absolutely delicious compared to.
Did you see my caveman shake? Did you see my caveman shake recipe on Twitter?
No, I haven't, but I might need to.
Yeah, that's what I do. I do the chocolate almond milk, and then I actually do two bananas, a scoop of peanut butter, and a scoop of flaxseed, and it's really great with caveman.
Oh, I might need to try that.
So what else did you call about for today?
Now, I wanted to just mention that, you know, there's a lot of events that might be unfolding. And, you know, there's a lot of hate fueled towards people who believe like we do. And if we return that hate, you know, then all that's going to do is cause us to become more like them. Because they've become how they are, you know, Antifa and all these, you know, radical groups because of hate. So we have to be careful to block that hate out of our own heart, because that's what creates these issues.
Well, let me ask you a question, Ashley, because I actually agree with what you're saying, but what is where is the line in the sand? I mean, if these people hate America, you know, where do we find common ground with these people?
Now, I mean, if they are in the wrong, you know, there should be action taken against them. Now, I mean, as far as I'm talking about, like, arguing back on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and calling them names in return to the names they call us, you know, that's just childish, and we need to be careful of that because that solves nothing. We have to pray for those people because yeah. that's the only thing that we can do. Now, if they're attacking us, then I'm not saying let them attack you in return because you need to protect yourself and your family. But nope. there's definitely a line where we have to draw that we have to protect ourselves from becoming the same as them.
Yeah, I think Ashley makes a good point here. Thank you for the call, Ashley. And it's honestly one of the toughest things. You know, I have to deal with these people in the street. So, you know, I have a firsthand experience with the hatred. I mean, there's Aide Skrillex. I mean, I am not allowed to have an opinion because I'm a white male. Meanwhile, he's trying to shove his racist opinion down my throat as a white male. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So we do need to pray for these people. We need to pray for our nation. I'm just worried that these people are so soul-sucked that even God can't get through to their souls. Let's take one more call before the end of this segment. Now let's go out to Brad in New York. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, how you doing? Owen, you're a beast, man. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hey,
you too.
I just wanted to say something about the fact that we have to point out to the law enforcement and officials in these mostly leftist hellholes where we've seen stand-down situations and shady behavior by the law enforcement who's being told what to do by, you know, people who don't have our best interests and maybe let these riots go on and all these other kind of situations. So I was thinking maybe if you guys are doing your coverage, get a hold of some law enforcement that may be able to analyze and at least provide what might be the correct procedures or correct responses when we're seeing some wacky business.
Well, I'll tell you this, Brad. I've had firsthand experience with this just from over the years. Specifically, it started when I was covering Ferguson, Missouri, when the protests were ensuing there. And what I can tell you about that was pretty much every night, the police fulked up that deal pretty badly. I thought that their tactics were awful, especially the first night when they issued the curfew. Instead of protecting the businesses and keeping the peace as they were doing, right at midnight, for some reason, and I'm not sure if this came from the Governor Nixon at the time, who's a swamp rat, they pulled back from the private businesses and then lined up and marched off against the protesters, clearly an inciting tactic to use. Now, here in Austin, though, every time I go out and I deal with these Antifas, the cops are there, and I would say for the most part, the cops are pretty much doing a good job. I mean, they kind of let me do my job to a certain extent, but I do feel that they're there to maintain a little bit of order. And in the times when the Antifa has gotten out of control, they've kind of shoved them around as they deserve. So, but it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. That'll be the key.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
The callers talking about how people are going crazy right now and how we could be on the brink of something bigger. And then you see stories like this. Driver pulls gun after learning McDonald's out of Egg McMuffins. That's right. A driver pulls out a gun because he couldn't get an Egg McMuffin. So you've seen the stories of people when they get their food stamps rejected. It's total chaos. They tear apart convenience stores. Now they're pulling guns because they can't get a McMuffin. So imagine what happens if Antifa starts to get shut down when they're planning violence by the cops, folks. It's really going to get out of control. That's why our website, Infowarsstore.com, has emergency food supplies. And what do you think is going to happen when the pedophile elite see their castles come crumbling down? Here's a report from John Bowne.
What can we expect from Antifa's Wall Street-backed war against mainstream America? According to Gateway Pundit, Tom Bloch, considered to be one of the leaders of the domestic terrorist group Antifa, declared on Twitter, "I can't wait for November 4th when millions of Antifa super soldiers will behead all white parents and small business owners in the town square." Talk about delusional.
Hey, my name is Martin Prenner from Antibalas. I take the pledge to support the march against fascism.
This nightmare must end.
The Trump-Pence regime must go. The future depends on it.
Next Saturday, November 4th, 2 o'clock p.m.
Let's stand together with courage and conviction, overcome fear and uncertainty.
Hi, I'm a member of the Brown Berets National Organization, and I'm here to inform you about our call to action. We're going to be doing walkouts on November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Refuse Fascism has sold out of its $45 pamphlets, citing the indictments of the so-called Trump-Pence regime. These Soros-funded snowflakes, hiding behind masks, have issue with a plethora of topics they barely understand, twisting them to fit their victim status, like the enforcement of immigration laws and border security, and their eyes becoming bigotry and hatred, and Islamic fundamentalist terror attacks in the United States twisted into an attack on Muslim Americans. Flip through the New York Times and you'll find an expensive ad stating their intent on taking down all who stand in their way, not to mention a story on Soros funding a social justice war against America by going all in with $18 billion to beef up his Open Society foundations. Meanwhile, Soros hedge fund manager Howie Rubin has been accused of running a human trafficking enterprise and raping and imprisoning women in a luxury Manhattan sex dungeon, according to a $27 million lawsuit. The Daily Mail reports the 63-page lawsuit against him claims that from 2010 onwards, he raped and abused the three Florida women at the penthouse and covered it up afterwards with the help of a team of lawyers and female fixers. One alleged victim says he once beat her so badly that her breast implant flipped. Another says he once threatened, "I'm going to rape you like my daughter." Rubin managed a mortgage-backed securities fund for former Nazi collaborator George Soros from 2008 to 2015.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes, yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all.
This is the evil fueling the millennials' moronic hatred for the United States, a generation who in a recent YouGov poll revealed that 44% of them favor socialism while 7% favor communism, yet 71% of them can't define communism. Antifa millennials, you are treasonous, morally bankrupt, idiotic scum, tempting the full brunt of American anger. Good luck with that.
This is the War Room.
Well, look who has decided to stop by. It's Leanne McAdoo in studio with us here in the War Room. Maybe we can twist her arm to stay with us for the entire hour. We'll see what happens, folks. But she sat down. I wanted to know what she wanted to cover. She immediately started rattling off insane liberal stories. So I figured, let's just go right into laughing at liberals here with Leanne McAdoo on the War Room. All right, let's just go back and forth, tit for tat here. Who can laugh at liberals the hardest? Who has the most ridiculous liberal story here? I'm gonna put the bar pretty high here, Leanne.
All right.
This is from Paul Joseph Watson at Infowars.com. Obama-era FBI assistant director, Americans must accept terror attacks as the price of diversity. Now, here's the funny thing about this.
Diversity is our strength.
There's a couple funny things about this. One, this echoes what came from Mayor Khan in London,
right,
saying that terror was just part and parcel to living in a big city. But the point made here is actually very relevant. Cesar Frank Figluazzi, you can't even make that name up.
Figluazzi.
He eats Fig Newtons. Figluazzi. But go to the poll I put out, guys. Remember the poll I put out at War Room on Twitter.
I remember.
I put out a poll on Twitter that said, would you sacrifice freedom and safety in the name of multiculturalism and diversity? Because you can't have both ways. In this modern society, the way the borders and immigration
and
everything is working, you can't have both.
People don't want to kill.
So actually, even though it's insane to even make that notion and make that statement that you have to accept terror because it's the price of diversity, it's actually true. That is true. If you want this diversity, if you want this multiculturalism, and you're going to include all of the nations that we bomb and that are radical Islam, then yes, you will have to accept terror. That's why we want a secure border.
If you want to give winning lottery ticket green cards to places that have terrorist hotbeds, then yeah.
That we bomb.
This is diversity. If you're going to just somehow drop that golden ticket in a land where terrorism is on the rise, then hey, it's part and parcel. Just get used to it.
It is like a big game of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Look at our minds that both of us thought that was an appropriate story to laugh at.
How dare you?
I also.
Laughing at liberals here. All right, goodness. What do you got over here?
Whew. All right. Public school teachers in taxpayer-funded Oregon schools must now inform the police when they find out a teenager has had sex.
I don't understand.
So
I'm confused.
This means when the kid goes to school and, you know, maybe they're wanting to confide in their teacher, or maybe they say, you know, wow, my boyfriend got me pregnant. I don't know who to talk to. I can't talk to my parents. So you're confiding in your teacher. Well, now, rather than giving you the advice that you might need, the teacher has to go to the police and let them know that you, as a person under 18 years of age, are having sex, even if it's consensual, because the law in Oregon says that you can't consent to sex if you're under 18 years of age.
Yeah, but don't you understand? The government is your mommy and daddy.
Exactly. This is also the place that doesn't need parental permission to start giving your teens sex change pills. I think they can start at like 12 years old. They don't even have to ask and need, they don't need parental permission to start giving your child sex change drugs. But they also need to tell the police when your 16, 17-year-old kids are having sex. Not you. They don't got to go to you, the parent.
Were you able to find any logic behind this?
Well, their logic, their liberal logic, is that they're taking the literal verbiage there in the law that it says that, you know, you under 18, you cannot consent to sex. So in order to comply with that law, they have to go to the police. So, I mean,
So they're basically saying
let me give you some examples.
Oh my God.
If you're a teacher, you must report suspected teen sexual activity to government officials if your own 17-year-old son lets you know that he got his 16-year-old girlfriend pregnant. So your son comes, he says, "Mom, Dad, I don't know what to do. I got my girlfriend pregnant." Well, we got to call the cops, son.
The cops on you, boy.
There's nothing else logical.
And then they're probably going to send you to Planned Parenthood.
You hear some students talking about students hooking up at a party over the weekend. Got to call the cops. A 15-year-old female student asks about birth control because she's having sex with her boyfriend.
But how can they?
So here you got these sex ed teachers and all this pushing all this on kids. So then they go that the schools have
Hollywood shoving sex down their throat.
They've programmed the kids into saying the only people that you can talk to are your teachers and us. You can't talk to your parents. You can't trust them. So tell us all your secret sex secrets. So now the kids are doing this, but now they have no one to turn to.
I just want to say, is there some sort of weird overlap between like progressive ideals and like ultra orthodox Christianity, like moral enforcement? Like, can you imagine if this was like
if you cross their brainwaves like that, their heads might explode.
Oh, could you imagine their reaction if this was like a super Catholic theocracy coming into America?
Exactly. Rather than like trying to figure out though,
are they saying though that you're essentially turning in your teenager for having sex to the cops because they broke the law? Which would insinuate some form of punishment.
Right. And then they also, too, if it's like a kid who is going to his teacher seeking advice because his parents kicked him out of his home when they found out that he was in a gay relationship. So it's like you're basically now telling these kids there's nowhere to go.
Listen here, boy. I'm going to have to call the cops on you for having sex with your girlfriend you've been dating for 3 years now.
It's consensual.
And let's see what the officer says about this. Yes, hi, I'm Officer So-and-so. You have broken the law. So now not only are you going to be a teenage father, we're going to give you a criminal record, too, right. Because you had sex underage.
You're also a felon. You're also going to have to sign up as a child molester for the next 25 years, and that's going to go down on your permanent record.
Now we're gonna suggest
the regulations have gone buck wild.
We're gonna suggest your girlfriend goes to Loving Planned Parenthood for a loving abortion there too, and hopefully they can,
don't we got a straight shot right here to the abortion clinic because we've been telling you your entire school career that we're the only ones you can trust, and go here for birth control. But I mean, this to me is just so crazy. You make a great point about. Not only are you going to have a baby at 16, but you're also going to now have a criminal record.
I knew I could top you.
Ooh, I
knew
know.
I could that top you. I you good. Didn't think it was possible, but I had it right here.
Pretty good.
Washington Post. City to five-year-old. Want to sell lemonade? Get a license. So this young girl, this is actually incredible. This young girl had such a successful lemonade stand that she was able to purchase a new bike. Incredible.
Wow.
I salute her. When I had lemonade stands, I'd be lucky if I could purchase a candy bar afterwards. She somehow manages to purchase a bike.
Capitalism is evil, though. Don't you understand?
Well, we had to shut her down.
Yeah.
And so the five-year-old got, I'm not kidding you, the five-year-old got reported to the police.
Who did
by
that?
Multiple citizens, and now the police have shut her down.
Down.
Shut that five-year-old down!
I mean, when I see lemonade stands, I'm like, that is cute. But who are these parents that are like, officer?
Laughing at liberals, Leanne.
I'm so sorry, but there's five-year-olds. Dangerous.
Hold on, let's try to mimic.
Toxic lemonade. Sir.
My name is Ned, and I want to report.
That'd be a little hoop.
I want to report some illegal selling of liquids on my street corner.
She's about 3 foot two. I'm pretty sure she doesn't have a license.
Okay, Ned, can you explain to me this criminal you're describing?
Yes, she's at least 5 years old. She's been peddling her lemonade on my street for weeks now. She's making more money than I am, driving around a bike. She must be shut down.
Shut her down.
And then the police come and they shut her down. I mean, woo.
That's good. That's a frightening thing. You know, but I did see there was a young girl that has actually turned her lemonade and her bees with the honey that she grows. Now she's actually got a big contract with Whole Foods. How did that happen?
So you're telling me in California, if you have a successful lemonade stand, you get shut down. But other places, the Whole Foods will just buy you.
They're like, that's a great idea. We're buying into you, kid.
No, but wait a second. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See if you guys can pull this up in 20 seconds. California made underage prostitution legal. California's losing their mind. They made underage prostitution legal. They made it legal to give someone AIDS without punishment. They made it illegal to call someone by the wrong pronoun. But you can't even sell lemonade on the street if you're five.
Oh, that's pretty crazy. America.
Just tit for tat. We're going back and forth here. I had a bunch of crazy liberals tweets, but let's start with this one because these two things kind of combine, and it's kind of a place to start. We'll keep the bar a little low here. This is from Infowars.com, Paul Joseph Watson again, and I believe this is the latest video from Fleckus Talks, a protest at Cal State. Fleckus Talks went there and did his thing. White supremacy-obsessed commie gets schooled by Trump-supporting immigrant. Wait. A Trump supporter schooled a Trump protester in a debate? That never happens. I'm actually waiting to see the one video. We're waiting for one video where a Trump protester actually schools a Trump supporter. That hasn't happened in over 2 years. And then in the same vein, I didn't pull this video because I'm actually trying to get this video, the creator, on and it's in a classroom. The audio is not good. It wouldn't translate to radio, but the title is from Kid Gadsden. Far leftist teacher goes off on student, claims to know more than the dictionary. This is one of the funniest videos and one of the most absurd videos where this professor basically keeps hating on white people. This Latino immigrant stands up for her, not even white people, just common sense in general, stands up for common sense. And so the unhinged professor makes some of the most outrageous claims you'll ever hear in your life, including that she knows more than the dictionary.
That's how you shut it down. That's how you shut down any dissenting voices.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Or you just go, and cry. Look at the sky. Has that happened yet? Oh, wait, it's not the year anniversary yet, so we got to wait for the screaming at the sky. See,
No. They planned a whole event to scream at the sky.
Right, and that's coming up on, what, the 8th or something? The 6th? 7th? You guys,
I never knew it stopped. I thought it kept going.
The screaming, but this is like a massive gathering of screamers, and
there's no way they'll actually do this.
We need 1 to 8 coverage.
There's
of that.
No way they'll actually do this.
Oh, they're gonna do it. They are going to scream at the sky because it's therapeutic.
What do you got, Leanne?
Well,
let's get a document cam on this meme.
Okay,
go to the meme.
All right, so everyone knows we're talking about the DNC rigging the election, which I got more on that because people, they still can't get it through their heads, and they're still protecting Hillary Clinton, saying, well, Bernie was never a Democrat in the first place, so he didn't deserve the DNC's money. But here's a good one from Rahul Samaranayake. We gave Bernie a lesson in socialism. We took votes he'd earned and redistributed them to Hillary.
Oh, using the liberal logic against him.
The lib logic.
I love
it. Like, he wasn't even a Democrat. But then why do you let him, you know, apply for the Democratic Party?
Well, yeah. I mean, you
totally rigged.
You love taking stuff from other people.
Oh, yeah, Bernie, we'll let you win as the Democrat. We'll give you a fair shake. He should have ran as an independent.
We'll steal all the money from your support. Oh, he knew exactly what was going on the whole time. His wife in the bank fraud investigation.
Well, no. Mr. Sanders, a socialist.
The chicken man? Fried chicken man? Bernie Sanders.
Here, check this out, though. He made all that money, those hundreds of millions or whatever, with his small donations. Didn't give any of it to the DNC to help the DNC or the state's parties.
Wait, did that go to his beach house?
That's why they were justifying the fact that he didn't deserve that money. That was Hillary raised that money and put it in the DNC. Bernie, Mr. Socialism, we got to give back. Isn't that, there's your liberal logic. That's what Bernie Sanders would have done for you. He took all that money. I don't know. Did he use it for his third beach house, his brand new car he was seen riding around in? Insane. Sorry, guys. Sorry to burst your Bernie bubble, but
where to go here? How about this one? This is again, liberal professors. Professor bemoans toxic masculine capitalism in Disney film. Okay. A professor at Florida International University.
Was it Beauty and the Beast?
It was.
Yeah, I thought so.
Argued that the Disney film Beauty and the Beast is rife with toxic masculinity.
Is this the new one that has the gay characters?
I don't know. I don't follow this crap. All I know is that liberals look for racism, masculine, anything they can, capitalism. Like,
when you're
why can't they just enjoy life? Why can't you just watch Beauty and the Beast and say, wow, I liked that film, or wow, I didn't like that film? No, it's
how miserable.
That reminds me of toxic masculinity.
Right. Gosh, I was just reading an article. What was it on? But the whole thing was like, each paragraph was littered with at least two sentences where they're circling around trying not to misgender and explain.
That's a crime in California.
And it's like, I'm just trying to read an article. Why are you just dancing around this masculinity binary?
You thought you were reading an article. You were actually being racist.
You're right. I was being bigoted.
All right. What do you got here? We're laughing at liberals,
according
folks.
According to Obama-era FBI assistant director, it is better to be victims of terror attack than be a bigot. So
you had something else along those lines, didn't you?
Let's see. Keith Olbermann.
There it was. I knew there was something.
We can laugh at him. He's the leader of the resistance, if
Keith
you didn't
Olbermann.
Know.
You know, Keith, I've got a nice tailor. I'm going to send you my tailor's information. They also do straight jackets. We're going to take care of Keith Olbermann there. What did he say lately?
And I actually didn't see this part, that he actually said this on The View, which just makes it even like astronomically more.
He crawled out of his basement?
He said this on The View, which, you know.
Just look at it. Hold on a second. The View is already full of nut jobs, honestly.
Oh, I cannot
and even
stand that show.
Olbermann sticks out. Go back. No. Go back to the other picture. There it is. Doesn't Olbermann even stick out of The View as the biggest nut there?
Oh.
I mean, Meghan McCain, I think, is the most sane person on that cast.
Well, all I know is that now that I'm back in Florida, my grandma keeps it on ABC all day long. And that's, oh my gosh, every time The View is on. Totally triggered. I'm like, Grandma, why? Why are you doing this? You're rotting your brain out.
These ladies would never lie to me.
So yeah, I change it to the Discovery Channel and she doesn't.
What did Olbermann say though?
So he said that he truly believes President Donald Trump is more harmful to America than Osama bin Laden. He says Trump and his family have done more harm to America than ISIS and bin Laden combined.
Okay, so this is bin Laden, who is said to be responsible for 9/11 that killed 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And ISIS, that, let's just look at this week alone, killed 8 people in New York. And I believe also is responsible for the California wildfires, as well as had a hand in the Las Vegas massacre. So,
but check this.
Nice math. Nice math, Keith Olbermann, you jackass.
But check this out. So then he goes on to say, so they challenge him on this. They're like, well, wait a minute. Do you really believe that? And he said, yes. Yeah, we did really well after 9/11. I don't think the country has given itself enough credit for what we did not do after 9/11. We didn't restrict all of the freedoms in this country. We did not single out people.
Yeah, you're right. You just have to get a hand job if you want to fly.
Yeah, you got to get the total pat
down. The NDAA.
We didn't restrict your freedoms. We're just gobbling up all of your massive surveillance data so much so that we can't even find the actual criminals because there's so much data to sift through. Oh, no, totally. We totally didn't have the scanners to roll out.
Let's close the door on this segment with the crazy Keith Olbermann. He is the crazy Keith Olbermann. I tweeted out that the most ironic thing about Keith Olbermann saying Tommy Loren was in violation of the flag when she actually wasn't. Then someone responds to me, he's not wearing the flag. It's just covering him. You don't wear blankets. You're covered by blankets. Wow. Liberal of the day right there. Even though the flag touching the ground is a violation.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Infowars.com/show.
Donald Trump said on this video that he likes kissing pretty women and that
you don't?
Sir, can I finish?
You like kissing ugly women?
Excuse me. Folks, I am standing in the middle of 1984 civilization.
Yes, babe, you know.
Well, 1984 is alive and well here in 2017, and we're trying to push back against it. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Anthony, who wants to talk about Antifa this weekend. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, good evening, guys. So, pretty close with a lot of the law enforcement guys here in Philadelphia, and they're saying that they've received some information that Antifa's been stockpiling weapons in anticipation for the November 4th kickoff with Resist scheduled in Philadelphia. And the caveat that they specifically said something about that they have actually been hiring children to ride bicycles around their outer formation so that the main aggressors can be kind of held more towards the core. Wow. They got to use them as...
Now, hold on a second. There's two things that interest me about what you're saying. One, they're stockpiling weapons. We'll get to that in a second. But two, all of their events say specifically kid friendly. It's something
bring
that they keep pushing. Yeah, bring your kids. So you're saying that this is part of a plan?
That's what I'm hearing. And you know, a lot of the, I mean, if you go on the Resist, and I know that, you know, you go to the website and you check out their events and whatnot, connect to their social media. Yeah, everything says it's a kid-friendly event.
Wow!
But you know, close coordination with their buddies on the other arm of their movement. Mm. It's definitely not going to be that type of event. At least according to what.
So just explain to me again what the purpose. And you said hiring kids. I'm
Or maybe it's like these Antifa people who haven't killed their kids. They're turning them into little commies and they're like, oh, go ride your bike, honey.
So are you saying they're using them as like protection or what exactly is the purpose?
So to my understanding is, you know, they are paying children, whether or not they are, you know, kids from their neighborhoods and whatnot. But, you know, when you think of children, kids riding bicycles or hanging around the outside, that's to discourage and make, you know, other parties think twice about intervening or storming into there. And, you know, you've seen these tactics with them before, you know, at Berkeley. You know, you have the main aggressor will go take care of whatever type of attack he's going to give and, you know, deal his blows, and then he cowers away. And then they'll have their other team of, you know, nonviolent or people who had not committed any type of, you know, physical act. They'll protect them while the other.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just want to flesh this out while I'm thinking about it. So basically what you're saying is, if I'm understanding correctly, and I think I would concur, that the actual leaders of this want there to be a quote unquote family friendly environment. As to make it look better in the media.
Well, plus two, then if you have any counter protesters that are like, oh, you know, screw you, Antifa, they can be like, look, he's yelling at little kids.
And I think that they want to make this look like a kind of like a block party thing, like, hey, look, this is a family event, family thing.
When they've already said that the only means is political violence.
But that's what I'm saying. So the people that are actually organizing and running this event want it to be portrayed as a family event with all these kids. So that they can be right. As radical, extreme, and as potentially violent as possible, but be able to deflect that because there's kids present and the optics of a family event will
they're
be
Kevin
present.
They're Kevin Spacing the optics. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I was drunk
exactly.
And
they're
I'm gay.
Their tactic. And okay. So they're gonna have children and they're gonna have, you know, whoever wants to act against them, you know, and even if it's law enforcement needs to go in there and go after somebody, you know,
oh, the kids.
Think twice, especially in the city of Philadelphia. You know,
wow.
What a literal hotbed it is.
Now, you also said stockpiling weapons. Now, you say you're close to law enforcement in Philadelphia. Are they getting intel that they're purchasing weapons? Or are you seeing a phenomenon like we're seeing here in Texas where all these gun stores are being broken into and robbed?
Well, yeah, and we've seen them training to use their guns.
Yeah, this was just me shooting the breeze. You know, I'm not in their community, but this is me shooting the breeze. And, you know, what was explained to me was that they are stockpiling. It didn't say anything about they were specifically
going to have some open carry event or whatever.
Gun shows or gun stores.
Yeah.
But they had been collecting, you know, and they weren't specific to the timeline or the type.
Well, we've reported on that. But, we've got articles up on InfoWars where we're talking about them buying it, their training.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, but I did, there was a robbery last night on one of the suburbs here in Philadelphia where a storage unit had our storage complex had over 100 units broken into. And, you know, a lot of the items taken were firearms.
Wow.
And, you know, to include, you know, 50 caliber sniper rifle.
Wow.
Barrett.
Well, wow, I'll tell you, cool. You know, one of my concerns about this was we already know that this is funded by George Soros and organized by his groups that he funds. And let's not forget about what happened in Ukraine with the George Soros-led protest where people ended up getting shot and
right.
There was all kinds of
Arab
confusion
as well.
Because both, you know, both, if you will, political groups that were essentially out there protesting were both confused, like, well, who fired the shots? Like, these shots came from none of us. Like, who's firing these shots?
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's a connection between that then and then the kids' angle as well.
Well, yeah, you have all these missing guns.
Yeah, wow. You have to think that they've recently gotten a lot of bad publicity as far as their behavior at mm-hmm. events. And, you know, they started seeing, you know, their support base, you know, a lot of the Democrat, liberal political figures, you know, have been forced to kind of turn away from casting them in the limelight.
Right.
So they're going to change their tactics. And so why would they not try and set the terms to this, you know, next, you know, engagement to, okay, well, we're going to post kid-friendly and family-oriented on our social media everywhere so everybody can see this ahead of time and then force or make it appear as if, you know, a counter-protester or the other side or somebody, you know, ends up attacking kids, violence erupts, and all they see is, you know, the media
post a 5-second clip of a kid getting, knocked over and trampled by somebody else. It doesn't show the whole background of it.
Right, exactly.
And then, now they shift
these people are sick.
It's terrible.
These people are sick. Thank you for the call. Great call.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anthony.
Think about this. Wow. I mean,
what kind of demented mindset do you have to tell people to bring your kids out? Sorry if they get curb stomped.
Who politicizes their children?
Well, you see a lot of these people out at the Trump rallies.
See, that's where I always draw the line, okay? I just can't believe what these people do to kids. I want to be able to have kids that can be like me, that don't have to worry about this garbage, that can just live their life, be a kid. No, we've got to indoctrinate our son into communism. We have to indoctrinate our son into anti-Trump hysteria. Man, that is just sick.
When the kids, we've had the videos where they're crying, they can't sleep at night.
I mean, I guess if you hate your kids so much, you'd rather kill them. I guess this is the next best thing if you can't get that abortion in time. All right, folks, look, InfoWars is going to be live tomorrow covering this, okay? We're going to be live from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and that requires a very large crew to come in here and man that. And it's because of you going to InfoWarsStore.com that we're able to make this possible. So please support us, support the crew that comes up here, never even takes a day off, by going to InfoWarsStore.com. We've got great specials, 50% off Silver Bullet, 50% off Brain Force, 50% off Anthroplex, 50% off Winter Sun, 40% off Vitamin 12, Secret 12, 40% off Survival Shield X2, 30% off Super Male Vitality. We've got hats, we've got t-shirts, water filters, air filters, emergency food. How about products for your shower, shampoos, soaps, mouthwash, toothpaste? We've got it all. Toothbrushes, InfoWarsStore.com. Support us. Help us grow to the next level, and we will defeat the fake news. One more segment left. Owen Schroyer, Leanne McAdoo, don't go anywhere.
Got to get some Antifa Super Male Vitality.
Quick news blitz here before we get some of these clips. From Huffington Post, you won't believe it. Muslims once again are being targeted for an attack they had nothing to do with. Okay, so just what about the Americans that died? Did they have anything to do with the radical Muslim that killed them?
I'm sorry, what about every single white person alive on the planet right now that is being targeted for slavery and things that we personally had nothing to do with?
Or Stephen Paddock.
How far are we going to take this?
Or Stephen Paddock, who most likely, I don't even know if he shot a bullet. I don't even know if he was involved at all. We're being lied to about that. So who even knows what happened there?
Hashtag not all white men.
But it's funny, you see what happens. A Muslim terror attack happens, and what does liberal media do? Immediately defend the Muslims, immediately defend the faith. The victims that died, F you. Don't care about you.
It's beautiful.
How about this for multiculturalism? Germany loses track of 30,000 failed asylum seekers. Oh, and you wonder why there's so much terror in Europe when you have these people running around without really a semblance of a life, except hatred, probably.
Well, also no vetting.
Prince William warns that there's too many people in the world, Leanne.
What?
Yeah, so another English royal says that there's too many people on Earth. And we're just going to have to do something about it. Hey, guys, we got an open mic back there, if you could please shut that off. So, yeah.
But, yeah, no, this is true, the same. Okay, we are also being told that we need, Europe needs this migrant
influx because
of declining birth rates. U.S. birth rates fall as deaths from age-related diseases climb. Oh. So birth rates are way down. And death rates are up. But Prince William said it's not enough.
Telomeres are under attack before you're born,
more must
too.
Go.
Yeah, because, folks, the real agenda behind everything is population control, eugenicism. That's the truth. Oh, and then there's this. Deadly airborne plague in Madagascar is now at crisis point and the worst outbreak in 50 years as cases rocket by almost 40% in 5 days, could hit a further 20,000 in weeks. So this is a black plague. It's happening in East Africa, and I've been trying to get to it all week, and I've just never had time. But now
There's black plague happening in East Africa, and it's one of the worst things going.
I saw Rob Dew at Dew's News on Twitter tweet this out. He connected those two articles with Prince William saying, oh, there's too many people on the planet. And then, of course, we've got the quote from Prince Philip saying, oh, I would like to come back.
I'd be a virus.
If I'm reincarnated, I'd be a virus and wipe out them. So here you go.
So loving.
And then you've got, you know, the Bill Gates vaccines going everywhere in Africa.
There seems to be
an outbreak afterwards. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. Story of how 470,000 documents from Osama bin Laden's compound finally got into the public. This is a story that's been pretty much wiped under the rug. I haven't even had time to delve into this, but the CIA has released 470,000 files that they recovered when they raided Osama bin Laden's compound. Now, do you think that these are real? Are they fake? Are they fabricated? I don't know, but that's a story definitely worth covering. No one else is talking about it.
Timing is interesting.
I couldn't believe the New York Times published this, Leanne. I could not forget what happened to me that night with him. This French citizen who was in North Africa, Henda Ayari, describes how she was drawn into the fundamentalist Islamic sect of Salafism. And after 10 years of marriage with children, she realized, she says, Islam is a straitjacket. So basically, she went into Islam, realized how she has no rights as a woman and how it basically treats her like a slave. And then the New York Times actually publishes the story about how Islam treats women like second-class citizens. Wow. How about that? DHS wants tech to scan your face as you drive to Mexico. Oh, and now you've got the convenient iPhone 10 to do that for you. Las Vegas gunman Stephen Paddock lost money in 2 years preceding shooting. Nothing from Sheriff Lombardo on that. Kevin Spacey, investigated by British police over claims actor woke up to a star performing sex on him.
A sex act.
That's nice. That's nice. Kevin Spacey, kids trapped in his basement, according to Family Guy. David Korn investigated for inappropriate workplace behavior. Ha! David Korn from Mother Jones, who goes on MSNBC and the likes constantly. David Korn, a scumbag. All right. Here we go.
Allegedly.
Sorry. Thank you for correcting the record there. Let's see. We got a clip here of Nancy Pelosi, who still doesn't know how to read, literally has a brain freeze in front of reporters.
Oh, this makes me sad. See, here's my empathic heart.
I'm sorry you feel bad for
Pelosi. She's losing it. Aw.
Yeah, and then she had Waters behind her. So you've got Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters, both literally brain dead, demented old ladies. It's sad. Hey, I love my grandma, and she can at least, you know, she's still with it, but I don't think that she would want to be involved in government either at her age. But for some reason, these two ladies still want to be.
She's the DNC's biggest fundraiser. They can't let her go.
These people are sick in the head, Leanne. They literally have brain disease. Yeah. All right, let's go to, this is a clip of Kevin Spacey describing, this is clip six, guys. Kevin Spacey talking about his relationship to Bill Clinton.
Let's just talk about your bromance with Bill Clinton. Can we talk about that?
Bromance.
Your bromance. Let's talk about it. Well, bromance.
Is that what we call it? Some? Huh? Yeah. How would you describe it?
He's like, are friendship? You outing me right now?
Yeah.
Well, that's bromance, isn't it? Sort of. Yeah, I mean it in friendship. Yeah. Yeah. How would he reply to the other? No, of course not. How would he describe it?
Did get nervous,
I hope he'd
huh?
say friendship. Yeah, friendship, yeah. Well, what is it, the magnet?
But this gets key, listen to this.
I mean, he's a politician. You're an actor.
Well, we've known each other a long time. We've had a lot of different experiences over the years, both in his first and second terms. Yeah. I did a great number
Lolita
of things
Express.
For him, either at the White House or for the Democratic Party. I hosted a lot of events, right, did a lot of things. Right. Did a lot of things privately. Did a lot of things on the campaign.
Privately?
And I suppose that
exactly.
Perhaps...
He's starting to sweat.
A little nervous there, Kevin?
He's having a little flashbacks of all the dungeon
stuff. I never waited to see
stuff.
Which way the wind was going to blow with respect to him. I was always there.
Why?
And I was a true friend.
Because they're two pieces
and
of pop.
Never doubted him, never stopped believing in him, thought he's an extraordinary
man. And took
man.
Him as he was.
Took him as he was.
Yeah. As he was, a raper and a sexual assaulter.
And I think that may be part of the reason why we became close.
And are you close
that
to her
part,
as well?
Part of why.
I'm not as close to her. I just haven't spent as much time with her as I have with him. But whenever we're together, I always have a very nice time with both of them. I recently hosted an evening at the Clinton Presidential Library for their 10th anniversary of that library, but also of the start of the Clinton Foundation.
Mm.
And there was someone took a photograph of the three of us on stage, and I tweeted this thing that said three kinds of presidents, former, potential, and streaming.
Wrong. So, but that's funny because You could tell he was a little nervous when thinking about
that. What happened?
But you wondered, this is probably why they're selling these people out, because they're compromised now as far as the education or as far as people knowing who and what they really are. And so you wonder, they're probably going to try to scrub that interview, I bet. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I wonder how Bill Clinton and Kevin Spacey
have had a lot of experiences together.
Yeah, private experiences. We spent a lot of time together.
What does that mean?
Whoa, Charlie Rose. Whoa. Do you know about the Lolita Express? Why are you asking me about Bill Clinton, dude?
Whoa.
Is it hot in here? Can somebody turn the AC on?
Here's the thing that really sucks is that I actually like Kevin Spacey as an actor. And now when these things start coming out, you really got to check yourself, because there's so many of his fans that are like, oh my God, I love you so much for finally coming out.
I like Matt Damon as an actor too, but his politics are obviously skewed or bought and paid for.
Diamond? Yes.
All right. Again, even Eminem. Look, I'm not going to lie. There's some Eminem music that I've liked. Going back for years, Eminem has put music that I like to listen to. But his politics or whatever, his bought and paid for opinions, make me want to vomit. Now, this was a little clip put together. Actually, this is actually Yahoo reporting on, I guess it's the Daily Joke, putting Hannity on Eminem's rap video. Here's this video.
Fusion GPS, Hillary DNC, President Obama funded dossier.
Damn, Sean Hannity. Look at you, you middle-aged white tiger. Wow.
All right, pause it right there. Go back.
To make fun of white people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Trevor Noah, a twit from somewhere overseas, probably South Africa.
Somewhere over there
where actually there's white genocide going on.
Lolita Express.
Whatever. Trevor Noah's a comedian. He's a joke. So that's fine. He couldn't actually, debate or have a conversation with a brown paper bag without getting defeated. But regardless, it's okay for him to make fun of white people. But then listen to this nitwit from Yahoo report on this. Listen to this.
I'm a funded dossier.
Damn, Sean Hannity. Look at you, you middle-aged white tiger. Wow.
On The Daily Show, Trevor Noah took a look at Sean Hannity's interesting spin on the recent FBI indictment of Trump.
Pause it right there. Exactly. Pause it right there. Interesting spin, Leanne. Isn't that a spin? Oh, let's see. Grass is green. Water is wet. Clouds are in the sky.
Clinton Foundation was a money laundering
team. No, seriously, you could say that. And then Yahoo would say, well, that's an interesting spin.
That's interesting spin.
And grass is green. Interesting spin.
It sometimes it's brown.
It's an interesting spin. You have brown hair? Interesting spin. InfoWars says Leanne McAdoo has brown hair. Woo! Look out, folks.
JFK file said he was.
Oh! That's what media matters.
Hitler.
InfoWars reporter says Hitler's still alive. You know what? Hitler's still alive. His name is Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
You stay classy, InfoWarriors.